Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Beaker Bros. I am Sonia, and today we are joined by a couple of very special guests. I'll throw it over to our guest host first. She is a good pal in my master's program of health research methodology. Mo, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Mo. I'm Sonia's master's best friend. We basically have been doing everything together. And then when she pitched this idea for me to co-host, I was like, 100%, I will co-host and bring along some of the more interesting friends I have. And that brings me to our guest of the day, Mina Alnajar, who I did my high school with and undergraduate studies with here at MAC in the Arts and Science program. And now she's pursuing law. She's in Osgoode Law School at York, and she's in her third year. Welcome, Mina.
Hi, happy to be here. Like Mo said, my name is Mina. I'm a final year at Osgoode Hall Law School. Very excited to graduate and very excited to be on the podcast today.
Very cool. Okay. I'll start off with our first question here, and Mo and I will alternate. So to begin, Mina, it was mentioned that you did the same program as Mo. But can you talk a little bit about what you did for your undergrad and then I guess just some of your general experiences?
Yeah, for sure. So Mo and I were in the Arts and Science program, which is a pretty unique program offered at McMaster. It's sort of a dual degree where you get to do both arts classes and science classes, and both were mandatory. I was also very interested in science, so I did a minor in biology as well, taking, you know, several bio courses as my electives and working in Dr. Juliet Daniels' lab at McMaster, which is a cancer biology research lab, and that was a lot of fun. In my third year, I was lucky enough to go on an exchange, and I went to Ireland through McMaster's exchange program for a semester. And it was there that I took one of my first law classes, which was called Medicine and the Law. And it really sparked my interest in just the legal field. And when I returned from my exchange in my final year, I did decide to apply to law school. And here I am.
That was an amazing little brief summary. Love that.
A little life journey.
That was actually one of our like main questions, like what was like that one experience or what, or maybe if there was more like little mini experiences that like kind of led you to be like, hey, I want to apply to law school, or hey, I think I'm going to be good at this. Like what led you or what inspired
you? Yeah, it was definitely, yeah. So the exchange, as I mentioned, was one of the more obvious experiences I had, but I think throughout undergrad, you know, something I was passionate about was advocacy, and something that drew me to Dr. Daniels' lab in particular is that we kind of took a public health perspective on biology. So we not only did cellular work, but she was very interested in triple negative breast cancer in the community, and in particular in women of African ancestry. And we would host workshops and we just focused our research on the community. And I kind of got this inkling that advocacy might be something I want to pursue. And through my extracurriculars, I also did Model UN in high school, and that was something that I loved. So when I was trying to reflect on, you know, where do I want my career trajectory to go, I found that advocacy was a key theme throughout my life. And then something else I did at MAC, which kind of awakened this whole, wow, I actually like law part of me. I think they still offer them. It's sort of an independent study course. You just pick a professor to supervise you and you get to kind of explore a topic. At the time, I worked with a bioethics professor at McMaster, and I did a project on the Assisted Human Reproduction Act that Canada has. And I just kind of investigated some of the ethics and law there. And in doing that research project, it also just confirmed to me that law is something I'm very interested in. So really, it was an accumulation of experiences. But I would say that the exchange course was definitely the biggest trigger for me to kind of get started on my law application.
Very cool. Can I just say, like, you did not stutter in that at all. You're so well spoken. My God.
Oh, thank you. It's a lot of practice. A lot of talking in my life.
It's crazy, genuinely. But
exactly what I was thinking. I was like, man, not one or but or yup.
Like no pause.
They might come. These are easy questions. These are very obvious answers.
Okay. Next question then. So can you talk to us then a little bit about the process of applying to law school? So yeah, just anything you have to say on that.
For For sure. So it's very similar in some ways to the medical school program. So we use something called OLSAS, which if any of your listeners are familiar with, it's kind of like OMSAS. You have to do your own autobiographical sketch, which is filling out every extracurricular you've done across 4 years of undergrad. And then we also have the admissions test, which is the LSAT. And that one, it's a very interesting test because it's not content-based, but rather skills-based. So you have these things called logic games and logical reasoning and then reading comprehension. So a lot of it has to be done through practice. It's not really something you can sit and memorize. It's a lot of practical work. And I believe it's a 5-hour exam from when I wrote it, and it is multiple choice. And so it is similar in the sense, but we do have a lot of personal statements as well. And that's kind of your chance to shine. So every school, some of them have general prompts, like just tell us why you're interested in law. Some of them have hypotheticals. Like I remember in my year, one of the schools had like a plagiarism prompt, like what would you do if you caught your friend plagiarizing, and ethical conundrums like that, sort of like, I guess, the Casper test, if you will. And then you do need references. You would need one or two depending on the school. And then you just submit your application in the November of the year you want to apply. And it is rolling admissions, so you'll hear back anywhere from December towards April.
Interesting. Okay. And then can you talk a little bit about why you specifically chose the school that you went to?
Yeah. So for me, I've always loved learning by doing. It's one of the reasons why I really liked working in a research lab, just any opportunity to apply what I learned in the classroom. And Osgoode had the greatest number of what we call clinical programs of any law school in Canada. And that's really the opportunity to take some time off school and do an internship somewhere in a field that you're interested in. And I'm interested in intellectual property law, which is sort of like inventions and trademarks. And Osgoode was one of the only schools that had a specified clinical program for IP called the IP Intensive, which I ended up doing this year. And I got to intern at AstraZeneca. So it's really a great experience to get legal work, build your network, while also just taking a break from courses and exams, which I always love to do.
That's as one would.
Yeah.
What's like one thing that you learned from these firms or like AstraZeneca? And I also know you worked at one of like, she worked at one of like the top like firms in Toronto. What was the name of it again?
Yeah. So this year I summered at McCarthy Tétrault in Toronto, and I'll be back there for articling. Absolutely loved it. As someone who kind of stumbled into law, was not always like the dream of mine since I was a little kid. I realized that in law school, I didn't love a lot of the legal courses and the way they taught the classes. But what I did love was working with people, because a lot of it was problem solving. Like clients come to you and they can ask the most random question because they genuinely don't know, like, is this legal? Is this law related? And then it's up to you to kind of go on an investigation like I used to do in the lab, which is again why I loved it. And I just learned that it's a lot of problem solving and a lot of unique questions. And I don't mind going on the hunt for the answer. And I'm also a very big people person. So I love that everything we did, we always did as a team. So even at AstraZeneca, I worked within a legal team. Like I never felt like I was by myself. And then at the firm, every file had, at least one partner, one associate, and one student. So it was at least three of us collaborating together. So really those elements of collaboration and problem solving are things that I took away from my legal work and reasons why I love the legal work.
How does law school compare to like your undergraduate studies?
So I always joke that I think science kids get a bad rap. Like sometimes they feel like, they don't fit in or law school is not for them. But really, I think the advantage we have is that we're used to content heavy courses, which I think is always an adjustment for a lot of people. Some people that come from more humanities programs are used to paper-based courses. So then when you enter law school, it's a lot of content coming at you quite quickly. At Osgoode, at least all our courses are only one semester each. I know some law schools do the full year courses. We don't really have that aside from our legal skills course, which is more practical. And because of that, like I said, it's a lot of content in a reduced amount of time, even a bit more than undergrad, I would say, but almost equivalent to some bio courses I took. And then on top of that, you have the new stressor of 100% exam, which can feel really daunting.
Oh God.
Because yeah, it's just the exam for most of your courses. As you get into upper years, you might find you can split some of the percentages into an assignment, but it's usually between 80 to 100% final. And you know, I found that to be good and bad. It's good in the sense that there's no constant stress of like a quiz or midterms. Bad in the sense that if you don't really take the initiative to stay on top of things, it's easy to fall behind because there's nothing to really provide a checkpoint, like no midterm or anyone checking in on you to make sure you're staying on top of the material. So definitely more self-directed learning because of the 100% exam. But overall, I found it to be more relieving to just have that exam, kind of like a band-aid, get it over with. But it did require me to kind of set my own schedules and not rely on external people to make sure that I'm on top of things.
Gotcha. Before we get a little bit more into our next series of questions about, I guess, what your education is like right now, Mo, I actually have a question for you. I know you were mentioning, and Nina was also mentioning a little bit, but you were quote-unquote going into like a pre-med route for a little bit of your education. But Mo, did you ever see Nina originally going into law? Like, did you ever get that inkling that she might switch into that career path?
Mina was always good at everything, so she could probably have done anything. She could have done medicine too, but she's like, nah, I'm gonna do law. But we were all very excited because we knew that she would have done like great in it. And then, yeah, I think like she was like pre-med or had like science-based courses a lot, but like even Mina mentioned, like all of it, like in terms of critical thinking, like I guess that's also what helped you in law school as well, and then made your experiences very diverse. Because I remember when Mina was applying for law school, like she would sometimes send some applications to like edit or just to like look over, and I felt like a lot of her experience were super cool because she like took from different parts of her like science based or like research based experience and tried to like put it into that. So I could definitely see her when at that point, I could definitely see her going into law as well. And now she's there.
So nice. I love being here.
Awesome. And now switching back to Nina. Now can you just talk a little bit more then about what your curriculum's like, what you're learning, and just stuff like that?
Yeah, so the first year of law school is standard across, I would say, every Ontario law school, because you have to take the foundational courses. So I think it's contracts, property, constitutional law, torts law, and maybe some others I'm forgetting. So first year is pretty uniform. That's great because you can use a lot of pre-existing notes and you can talk to a lot of upper years because that content doesn't vary too much from year to year. But then after second year, at least at Osgoode, you're kind of set free and you're open to explore whatever concentrations you want to do. And they just kind of can offer courses based on any focuses that you have, or you can just pick and choose what you want. Or some people decide to go the route of taking courses that will help them study for what we have called the bar, which is our licensing exam. For me, myself, I took a couple courses that I knew would benefit me in the IP and business areas because those are areas of law that I wanted to do. And I just spoke to the mentors I had who were practicing law, as well as the upper year mentors that I had, and asked them, you know, what are standard courses that are good in this area of the profession, and just took them. And then because I did the IP internship, I had to take a lot of IP courses to be able to get into that internship. So I'd taken like trademarks and patents and just general IP seminars. And so it's really flexible, I would say. Other than first year, you don't really have any requirements. Like there's a required number of credits, but not like required type of courses. And I really appreciated that because you get to kind of do what you want and you're not forced into anything. But at the same time, you do want to be somewhat strategic to pick things that'll benefit you in what you practice at the end of the day.
Awesome. Yeah, one of our questions when we were trying to figure out what questions to ask you was something that me and Sonia talk about a lot, which is because you mentioned you went to Ireland to do one of your exchanges. Can you like speak to like the work-life balance between like Canada versus, you know, studying in Europe? Like how does it differ, and like do you prefer one or the other?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that in Europe, the course load didn't seem as heavy compared to what I was used to in Canada. I think the reason for that is sort of like in particular, especially with law, they take it for 4 years, I believe. And, you know, some of them have gotten into law school when they're 18 because it's just an undergrad. Whereas for us, it's like professional school. So they do kind of condense it, I find. And so because of that, I did find there to be like somewhat of a lighter workload, and I was able to go out more and explore, which is what I wanted to do anyways on my exchange. But it's funny because I remember when I went on exchange, that was the first time I was introduced to 100% exams, because that's how Europe does it all the time. And I believe that law school has kind of adopted that because a lot of our curriculum is taken from English law schools. And so again, I got to party and do whatever I wanted. But then when exam time started to roll around, I realized how behind I fell in some of my courses, which was okay in exchange because it was pass fail, but could not be okay if I studied in Canada. And I think Canada, I just think it's a bit more compressive and fast paced than Europe does. And I think something funny in Europe that I found is that there's a bit more assistance. So for example, when I did a bio lab in Ireland, you were allowed to Google anything you wanted. You were allowed to ask the TAs for as much help as you wanted on the lab questions. I found that at Mac, at least, I remember like you weren't expected to be on your phones. You had to kind of finish the lab like during the lab, whereas in Ireland, you could take it home if you wanted to and just drop it off. And so there was a bit, I would say in Canada, there's a bit of an expectation that you do things independently, whereas in Europe, I found it to be slightly more collaborative.
Do you personally have a preference?
I would say that I did prefer sort of Europe style because I did find there was a lot less stressed out undergrads. That's just something I saw visually. Could also be slightly confirmation bias because I was having a great time that maybe I only saw people having a great time. But I do believe that just the slightly less course load and just the fact that you do only have the exam to worry about, as opposed to, I just remember so many assessments for every course at Mac, like so many quizzes and then mastering chem or things like along those lines that just were always popping up in my schedule and disrupting it. Whereas at least with the exam, you just get to pick and choose what days you want to study, right? So I think that's a better work-life balance and something that I've gotten used to and prefer in law school as well.
Gotcha. Okay. And another thing we wanted to ask, so at least for the Beaker Bros audience, a lot of folks are in their undergrad or between that 18 to 22 year old range. So with that being said, is there any advice that you would give folks within that age group or that are currently in their undergrad, just, or not even advice, just like regrets that you may have had in your undergrad experience that you would advise folks to like ease up on? And yeah, if you were in their position right now, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think that I'm really happy and fortunate that I got into the lab that I wanted to get into. And I think something that I think every undergrad should do is just to keep trying to make a contact in the profession or field that you want to enter. So I know it can be really discouraging to send off a million emails and maybe not hear back, but really all it takes is one person to have faith in you and believe in you. And that's what happened to me. I literally never expected Dr. Daniel to message me back, but she did. And it ended up putting my whole life in a different trajectory in a good way, because I loved working in the lab and it gave me that practical experience that helped save me from the dread of undergrad, truly. Like, I just am not a person who likes to only be in class. I'm a person who likes to move around and do things. So if you're that type of person too, I would say try to talk to someone, like any professional, and build your network and do something outside of the school. Like, do something outside of the lab, outside of the classroom, and find people who encourage you to do that. So Dr. Daniel was one of the people who encouraged me to speak to that bioethics professor who I would have never gone into contact with had it not been for her setting that meeting up. So really try to find people in a network that can take you out of just the classroom, because I think we get into this cycle where, you know, grades are the most important thing, and then that can take us away from the practical experiences that can also add so much value to who you are.
Gotcha. Okay.
I definitely very well said. Agree. I feel like that whole theme of like networking is so big in literally all fields. Because when you get that access to someone like who has like been through like a process before you have, and then is in a career or the goal that you have in your mind, like they can really help you like navigate certain situations, and they also like bring up new like opportunities or things that you've never even heard of, that they'll be like, oh, like there's this, or there's also this opportunity or that opportunity, and like you're just more like I guess even more excited when someone is like trying to help you and like and then showing you that there's actually a lot of possibilities in the fields that you're learning about as someone in undergrad.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes the term networking can be very daunting. I remember like being a couple years younger and feeling like, you know, I don't know how to do this, and I'm so shy. I don't know how to reach out to people who are in great positions and, you know, way ahead of me. But the truth is, like, networking is just a big fancy term for talking to people, like just getting to know them, getting to know their story. And you never know, like maybe you click and maybe you don't, but maybe that one person you click with really does present you with a bunch of life opportunities you wouldn't have had otherwise. So just get out of your circle room and just try to find people in different positions, different areas, because I do think they'll add value to your life in ways that you don't know yet.
100%. Yeah, and then also we wanted to know, like, what are things that you do for yourself or things in general that you do to like cope with stress and just like burnout?
Yeah, like that's a great question. I think as students, like, we're always going to have periods where it's just so stressful. And like, I'm not going to say I'm immune to burnout. Like, I think it does happen from time to time. Some things that I kind of have built into my daily routine and it's like a non-negotiable, one of them is working out. Like, I pretty consistent workout 4 times a week and finding a workout that I love to do. So I remember there was always the pressure to kind of like do group classes, and I just don't like group classes. And when I finally admitted that and kind of just kind of went solo and just used that time to be by myself and take an hour just not communicating with anyone to myself and sweating it out, I found that to be a great way to cope. Another thing is honestly talking to my friends. I have a great circle of friends that I'm grateful for, that I feel like I can talk to for, yeah, she's present here, for any reason at all. And I think, you know, do maintain your friendships in times of stress. It's easy to want to cut someone off and isolate, but I think that can just make your intrusive thoughts, you just, you know, enhance, like, it just increase, and it just becomes this echo chamber of you and your negative thoughts. Whereas if you have a really good friend who can even just make you laugh, I think that's a great way to handle the burnout. And then the last thing I'd say is, you know when to power down. Like, maybe when you're hitting burnout, it is a sign that you need to walk away from whatever you're trying to do, even if it's for like an hour. I find that, you know, taking a nap or just like physically getting away from my computer and coming back to it might have been the boost I needed and might have been like my body's way of saying, you know, you need to hit the restart button, and that's okay. I think other than, you know, some mandatory deadlines, a lot of things in life, they can wait like an hour, and in that hour that you can take to yourself, like, you can stop the burnout, I think.
Did you ever reach the point of burnout in your undergrad or even in law school?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Like I said, I think it came in waves for me. Like, I remember there was a period in my second year of undergrad where in my first semester, I withdrew from a class for the first time ever. Like, I was close to failing it. It was organic chemistry. I even hate saying the words because it just brings back terrible memories. And I withdrew from it. And I remember, like, to make up for that class I didn't have, I overloaded in the second semester of my second year. And that was definitely a time where I just felt insanely stressed out. And I was breaking out like crazy. I'd never had acne before. Like, even my own body was telling me, like, you know, something's wrong. They're sounding the alarms. And there was a point in second year where I thought I might drop out of undergrad and I didn't want to do anything. But then the same time, midway through my second semester, is when Dr. Daniel invited me back and just introduced me to this whole community of people who worked in a lab. And it was just something new, and it pulled me out of that mood I was in. And I think second year was also when I built my workout routine. So just relying on those external things outside of school helped pull me out. But I think I did ignore it for a long time, and that's what made it get really bad. Whereas if you take the time to acknowledge your stress, to maybe, you know, take a mental break from things, like, I was working nonstop. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, I think I was always studying for something, and it got to a point where, like, I think I didn't even take an hour to eat most days. And I think if I had just taken that hour and calmed down more often, then it would have helped save me. So I do think second year was probably the hardest time. In law school, I was kind of fortunate. I know first year tends to be a year for burnout for many, but I was fortunate, and the world wasn't fortunate that it was COVID, but I was fortunate in the sense that it forced me to just kind of sit and study because there was nothing else to do in first year of my law school. So I didn't have FOMO, no parties really. So that helped me kind of understand how to study and help me prep for law school. So far law school has been great. It also helps that things are marked on a curve in law school. So it's definitely less competitive because you can almost always get a B, if I'm being honest, unless you really don't try, which is not really anyone's nature in law school. So I think undergrad, I definitely experienced burnout my second year, but so far not in law school, and I'm almost out, so hopefully I don't experience burnout in law school.
Fingers crossed.
I'm a big believer in naps. I feel like napping and like when I take time to eat, those are like the least stressful times to me, because I'm like, okay, I have to eat, so I know I shouldn't be worried about anything at this point because it's just me and fueling myself. And then napping is like, oh, well, I need to rest because I won't be able to do the thing that I want to do.
I think like in undergrad, like, you know, we always glamorize a bit, like staying up and just like working so hard. But at the end of the day, like your body needs to function, and it's going to function with sleep, with food, and with exercise is what I believe. And so you need to make sure you get those things in. Otherwise, your body will manifesting its way of telling you, you need to fix this, or you need to adjust the way you're living.
Exactly.
100%.
I agree 100%.
I remember,
go on then. Sorry, Sonia.
Oh, I was just going to make a comment. I remember back, like for me, back during my first year, went through something very similar. I ended up dropping out. So the fact that you were able to like recognize that before it reached the point of no return, it's good for you. A lot of people don't experience that, so that's good.
It's not, taking a break, even in the form of, like, dropping out, like, that's not a bad thing. Like, if it's something you had to do for yourself at the time, then that's what you had to do. Like, I don't think what I did in second year was the best decision. It was just a decision I made at the end of the day. And I think, like I said, like, having my friends by my side got me through it, but there were a lot of times where I didn't know what I was doing, truly. And if I could go back, I might have just like dropped three classes and just done an extra semester or something like that, and there wouldn't have been any harm. But I was young, and we learn.
Say la vie, what can you do?
Exactly. It got me where I needed to go. But yeah, I wouldn't do it again for sure.
That's like Sonia's quote, like say la vie. And it just, when she says it, I just feel better.
It's so true, because that is
it's life. What can you do?
You can't. You just gotta live it sometimes.
You just gotta live it. Yeah, that's very true. So in terms of like where you're at right now, so you're in your last year of law school, and then I know the year upcoming is going to be your articling. So in terms of your education, like where is it at right now?
Mm-hmm. So I'm in my last semester, so I'm taking my last set of courses. I did an internship for my entire fall semester, so I'm back at school and I'm taking four classes right now. I will do my exams in April for some of my classes, and then I'll be done. And then we have to write the bar in Ontario. It's two exams, the barrister and the solicitor exam. One is at the end of May, one is in the middle of June, and then I will have some time off before I article. And for those who don't know, in Ontario, you have to do this thing called articling for 10 months in order to actually get licensed as a lawyer. And you're essentially just, you know, working under the supervision of a lawyer, or in my case, you know, many lawyers, because I'm at a firm. And I'll be returning to McCarthy Tétrault to do my articling. So that'll be in downtown Toronto.
So is articling, or the tasks that they give you in articling, do they differ than what you did as like a summer internship person?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would think so, because my summer internship was only 4 months, and this time it'll be 10 months. And so, you know, sometimes they can't give you certain things on a file, just because if you're not going to be there for that long, then they kind of need someone who is, because otherwise it's sort of a waste of time to try to retrain someone or integrate them into a file. So I do imagine that they'll give me like many more responsibilities, and you kind of get to go deeper because you're sticking around for the length of the file. But you know, I haven't done it yet, so I'm not sure. And the thing about legal work is it does vary, but a lot of the times it is like legal research related to legal questions. But I'm hopeful that, I think as an articling student, you likely get to do more drafting and just take on more files than I did in the summer, because I'm not on a time constraint.
And will this be like catered to the law specialty you want to practice in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. So every firm kind of does it differently. My firm, you get to pick sort of like three areas that you want to rotate through. But they're also pretty flexible in the sense that if I want to do something specific, I can ask for it. And usually like they let me do that. But they do generally want you to focus in three areas because they want to know where to hire you back when you finish articling. So ideally you'd have, you know, the chance to explore areas, but then pick one at the end of your articling. In my firm, you're expected to do a litigation rotation and likely a business law rotation, and then you get to pick the third one. So in my case, I am trying to do IP as my third rotation.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You must be excited to move to Toronto.
I am so excited. For those who don't know, despite the name, Osgoode is not in Toronto, it's in North York. So I'm excited to move closer to the city. And yeah, just explore. I had a lot of fun in the summer. For those who are in law school listening, the summer is like the best time because they're still kind of introducing you. So it's a lot of fun, a little bit of work, actually a lot of work, but also a lot of fun. So yeah,
just work, excited. Work hard, play hard. Am I right?
That is definitely the theme that I learned. Yeah.
I love that. And you get to look good while you're doing it.
Yeah, I did like a mental like med law pro con list. And I remember thinking at the time, like, pro, I get to actually wear a bunch of cute clothes as opposed to just scrubs. That was just a funny pro con. I encourage you to take it seriously when you are deciding, but that was something that I was really excited about.
You know what though, having your own like little Toronto girl moment, that is quite a pro.
Yeah.
And because she's going, we're coming with her.
I know. I'm doing it for my friends. It was like a long-term decision.
Sonia, did you want to ask her our last questiones?
Sure. So, final question here. Who is Mina outside of academia and law?
This is such a funny question because I was thinking about this the other day because I'm in school mode right now and sometimes it feels like, yeah, that is all I'm doing. So I was like, okay, wait, like, who am I? Honestly, I would say that I am a fun-loving, funny person. And I get that from my family. And I'm a big community member. I like to volunteer and participate where I can. And I am still figuring out as well. I think a lot of people think that, you know, once you get into professional school, it's the end-all be-all, but there's still a lot of decisions that you get to make and be in control of. And I'm excited to make those decisions, including, like, what am I going to practice? But you know, I think outside of academia, I'm still a young person who's trying to, you know, have fun, explore the city, and just maintain some of my hobbies, like working out, like playing piano, like reading. I think I let some of those loose when I entered academia, and I'm excited to kind of bring them back out as I finish law school. So yeah, I'm a person with hobbies, person ready to have fun, and, you know, person who likes to help out the community and people who do good work in the community, like you guys, the Beaker Bros.
I have one more question. Thanks, by the way. What is like your 10-year goal? Like 10 years from now, where do you want to be with law?
For sure. So I would like to be on what they call the partnership track. You know, if I'm doing well enough, you could be a partner in 10 years. And essentially I'd like to have, you know, maybe my own group that kind of fuses some of the elements of business and IP, because I'm very interested in both. So I'd love to see a way that I could practice both. Sometimes they are separated, but some firms do allow that sort of merger. And I'd like to be a part of a group that does, because I think they're very interesting areas. And I think IP in particular is going to be an ongoing area that just surges the more we need to invent and create solutions to big problems. So yeah, I'd like to be able to lead a group that does both of those things. I'm interested in leadership positions, so I'd like to do that. And then personally wise, I'd like to own, you know, maybe a condo, maybe a house, depending on how the market's looking. but, you know, I still want to be in Canada. I really love it here, and it's somewhere that I do imagine settling in 10 years. And I think along the way, something that I'm passionate about is helping women in entrepreneurship and women in leadership. So I'd like to be able to continue work either pro bono or through my firm of encouraging women to, you know, create, invent, and just helping them where I can, whether it be through funds, through mentorship, or just consulting.
Very cool.
Al Najjar LLP, is that the thing?
It is. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to own my own firm. I think that's a lot. I think Ontario has great opportunities to work within a firm, but I definitely like to lead a group within the firm, but maybe not my own firm, but we'll see. Never
I
say.
don't know. I can see it happening. I could be the secretary.
Yeah, if I wanted to employ all you guys, then yeah, I'd do.
We needed to come to you to get jobs. You'd be like, yeah, let's just start my own. Excellent. Thank you so much, Mina, for like joining us today.
Happy to do it.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Well,
with that being said, thank you, Mina. Thank you, Mo, for also joining on this interview, this little line of questioning. And after about 40 minutes of interrogating you, Mina, I think I'm ready to wrap this up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, great question. I'll be thinking about who I am for a while now, so I appreciate that.
That was our goal. All right.
That was definitely a tough question. I don't even know what I would answer if someone asked me that.
Yeah.
I am what people think I am. I feel like
I take care of where I am, yeah.
If I am. Awesome.